Tonight I'd like you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Commence reading from the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always burn about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And it's that verse 18, the last verse of the chapter that I would like to use for my text. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. As you might have guessed, tonight I want to speak on the topic of eternity. Martin Stais was born in Sydney, Australia in 1885. Martin was an alcoholic. Both of his parents were alcoholics. And he came from not a good home. But one night after hearing a minister preaching on eternity, he became a Christian. And he turned from his old ways. 2 years later, he was inspired after hearing an evangelist, John Ridley, preaching on the topic, the echoes of eternity. And from this message, he decided that he would start writing the word eternity throughout the city of Sydney. Several mornings each week for 35 years, Stais would leave his wife at 5 a.m. and he would go around the streets of Sydney with chalk. And he'd write the word eternity wherever he could think of. He wrote it on footpaths. He wrote it on railway station entrances. He wrote it on bridges. Wherever he could get that word written, he would write it eternity. So that all the people in Sydney would consider where they will spend eternity. It is said that he wrote the word around 500,000 times over the 35 years. And it became a theme, if you like, for the city. Anybody going into the city, the workers, whatever the case may be, wherever they looked, they would see eternity. It became a legend. Later, Martin Stace would get the title Mr. Eternity. And as a tribute to the man known as Mr. Eternity, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, maybe some of you remember this, was lit up with the word eternity as part of the celebrations for the beginning of the year 2000. As well, also, as part of the Sydney 2000 Olympic Games. And there, the whole world seeing Martin Stace's message, eternity. And this was a man that knew the importance of this word and what it meant to the thousands, the millions in the end, of souls that read it. And dear friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and not saved, have you ever truly considered eternity? Think of that word. Have you ever truly sat down and contemplated where you will spend eternity? Eternity is a subject that the human mind can't fully grasp or fully comprehend because we have a finite mind. And therefore, we cannot think infinitely. We can never fully grasp that there was never a beginning and there'll never be an end forever and forever and forever. And so it goes on without end. However, it is a subject that flows throughout the Bible and it is a critical element to salvation. And just as equal, it's a critical element to God's judgment. I remember one night I tried to explain it to the young people to try to get some kind of understanding as best we can. And I got a bit of rope and I put a wee bit of red tape around the end. And I got the young people to walk the rope around the room and out into the hall. I ran out of rope. But what I said to the young people was, and I highlighted, I says, see this small thin of red tape at this end? Well, that's your life on this earth. I says, now see the rest of the rope. Imagine that it went on outside of Port of Ogay. Imagine it went to the moon. Imagine it went to the sun. I says, that's eternity. And it hasn't even started. Yet, we're so consumed with the wee bit of red tape. And it's just a dot in our existence. And so many men and women never give thought for the rest, thought for eternity. James chapter 4 and the verse 14 reminds us of that small bit of red tape. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There is no substance to a vapor. It is light particles of condensation that can be blown away. How, if you boil a kettle, you will see the steam rising. And if you don't want the kitchen windows to steam up, you open them and the steam escapes. It's gone in seconds. And so our lives are like this. They're so frail even as a vapor. It's a vapor that will just vanish away. Our lives are far from stable and sure. We literally don't know what's around the next corner. You don't know what's around the next corner. Hi, we heard of that terrible accident just a couple of miles up the road in Ballygan, of that man losing his life in that car accident. He didn't see it. He didn't know. How we are only flesh and bones, and at any given moment, we could be blotted out of the scene of time. If you're ever on the road, look how close you are to the car coming towards you. Now, think how little it would take for those cars to collide. And if you're doing 60 miles an hour and that car is doing 60 miles an hour, that's an impact of 120 miles an hour. Look how close you are. Look how close you are. Every day you go on the road to eternity. In Ecclesiastes, our life is referred to as a shadow. And as the sun goes down, the shadow, what happens? It disappears. And so it is with our lives. And one of these days, the sun will go down on your life. Now that could be as you sit in that seat. That could be tomorrow. That could be 20 years. I worked with a man and he truly hated the gospel. And he at times would speak to me and he would mock me. And most of the time I was able just to walk away and try to ignore him. But sometimes he was that angry about it. And the language that he was using, I had to warn him. If he did it one more time, I was going to report him. Because he was vile in the things that he was saying. And this man, all he lived for was his pension. He wanted to retire early. He wanted to go around the world with his wife. And he used to boast how much he had in his pension. And one night, come up to Christmas there, some of the ones went out from work, and this man was out with them, and he came home, and he was in a drunken state, and he didn't want to wake his wife. He went to his spare bedroom. He was retiring in 6 months. He went to his spare bedroom, and he never woke. His wife found him dead the next morning. Well, he had all these plans for his pension. He had all these plans for the rest of his life. He thought he would have many years in front of him to enjoy all the money he saved. But he didn't see it. And if he died the way he lived, he never considered eternity. And dear unsaved friend, have you considered this fact? That your time on this earth is just as a vapor. It appears for just a little while, just a short time. But after this, there's an eternity waiting for you. And more importantly, there's a judgment waiting for you. Unless you have Christ in your heart, don't be a fool. The first thing we see from our text is what is seen is temporal. We live in a world that is temporal and it's slowly fading away. Everything in this world is dying. Each person in this church tonight has something in common. And that is, every person in this room is dying. The minute you were born and brought into this world, that process of dying started. This is a fact that people, particularly young people, don't like to listen to. But the truth of the matter is that because of sin, each day, each hour, we are closer to death. And as each moment goes by and each day goes by, you approach that time when the soul leaves the body and you'll be ushered out into eternity. That's a fact. Nobody would deny me or deny what I'm saying is true. Everyone, each one of us will die. Yes, we don't know when. But we will die. The beauty of youth is only temporal. We think of some of the famous film stars. When they were younger, they were known for their beauty. But as the years roll by, that beauty passes away. And they try all sorts to maintain that youthfulness. And they end up being old prunes. Some of them have lips on them like bumper cars. And they look like aliens. But they're spending hundreds of thousands to try to maintain that youthfulness. They're in denial. They can't see the fact that they're dying. The body's given up. How material things don't last. How exciting it is to get a new car. And I love cars. I really love cars. And I love nice cars. I love sports cars. When I see them, I like to look at them. But the hard truth is you get a new car. And at the start, you're all happy and you're cleaning it and you stand outside and you give it a good look. Oh, that's a nice looking car. But how long does it take before you're saying, I'd like to change? Houses. Decorating houses. It seems like an endless cycle for me. Once I get one room done, the wife has another paint for another room. And by the time I get the last room done, I'm back around again. But isn't it true? Earthly things, material things, they don't last. And dear and saved friend, everything of this world is passing by. This life, it's only temporary. Think about it. What I'm saying is right. And when you truly sit down and think about it, you understand what I'm saying is right. All these things that you live for, wealth, houses, careers, yes, and if God blesses you with such things, well, that's okay. But just remember, in a moment, they'll disappear. In a moment. These things that you hold so tightly, and so, sometimes if you're not saved, these things that you live for, but you lose from your grip in a second, a millisecond. We read in Luke chapter 12 of the rich fool. And the Lord tells us of a man who had such a love for the things of this world that he was blinded to what was truly important, and that being the eternal dwelling place of his soul. He was taken up with money and having a good life, that he never gave thought to where he would spend eternity. And for this reason, God calls him a fool. And he says to him, this very night, thy soul shall be required of thee. I heard once a minister preach on that topic, on that verse. And as he was standing in the pulpit, he started to repeat it. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And he couldn't stop repeating it. And he kept repeating it. And as he repeated it more, he started to break down. And that night, a young man left the meeting and was involved in a terrible accident. And he lost his life. And as I was saying that came back to my memory. And what a tragedy. Someone left this meeting tonight being a fool. And that God requires your soul for all eternity. Tonight. Is that not terrifying, dear and safe person? Young person. Does that not put the fear of God into you? You've heard my testimony. Some of you know the fellow that my friend that I lost at such a young age. Death comes to youth. Death comes to young people. Don't be a fool. Yes, you hear it every week. You hear that if you want to go to heaven, that you must put your faith in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. But you're that caught up in the things of this world that you turn a blind eye to it. You never give it much thought. You're not caught up with your friends, what they will say if you became a Christian. If you'd lose your friends if you became a Christian. What would your partner say if you became a Christian? You know what I'm saying is right, but you're not concerned and not consumed with this life. You're being a fool. What are you truly willing to trade your soul for? What are you truly willing to say? Well, you know something? It's worth the risk to go to hell. What is there possibly that this life could offer that you're willing to enter and take the risk of losing your soul and going to a Christless hell? Really? There was once a story about a university lecturer meeting one of his old students walking down the street. And as the old university lecturer seen a student, he inquired about him. And he said to him, "What are you doing with your life?" The student said, "Well, I have went and gone and done my master's in law." The lecturer said, "Well, very good. What then?" The student replied, "Well, I hope to get a job in one of the country's top law firms." The lecturer then asked, "Okay, well, what then?" The student replied, "Well, once I get financially sound, I hope to start up my own law firm." "What then?" "Well, I hope to get married and have a nice life." "What then?" "Well, I hope to have children and supply my children's every need." "What then?" "Well, I hope to have earned enough money to retire early and do a bit of traveling." The old lecturer then said, "What then?" Well, the student said, "Well, I will grow old." The old lecturer, being a godly and a saved man, he says, "What then?" The student wouldn't answer the man's question because he realized the lecturer, being a Christian, was steering him to his point of death. Then before the old lecturer left him, he said, "Son, what is your life? It is just as a vapor that appears for a little while, but it's where you spend eternity that matters." What then, dear friend? What's it all about? What a different story it is for the Christian. Eternity is something to seek after, something we long for, because today's trials, today's burdens, today's persecutions, today's sadness is only temporary. Oh, there's coming a day for the believer where there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more departing from loved ones. There's coming a day, a break for the believer where everything will be eternal bliss with Christ. A bliss that we can't even imagine. It's a bliss that we long for. As we long to be with Christ. We long for eternity. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful eternity lies for the believer. It's not enough to say, "Hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm going to glory." And to live this life with that peace beats every drug. And I can witness that. It beats every drink. It beats every worldly thing to know that you're saved and to know that you're going to glory and to know that I'll see my Savior face to face. I shall sing with the angels in heaven. I shall walk the streets of gold. I shall be with Christ, and there's nothing that this world can offer to take that away from me. Amen. What it is to be saved. Have you got it? Do you have the peace and assurance that I'm talking about? Do you long for glory? Do you long for heaven? Do you long to see Christ? Or do you sit in that seat tonight with dread and fear, knowing that Christ will be your judge? And the eternity that lies before you is hell.
What a way to live your life.
We also see from our text that we are moving from a temporal world into eternal life. Or may it be a case of eternal suffering. What lies beyond the grave is eternal. As I've already said, no end to time, no decay. And even though we can't see it or comprehend it, we're going from a finite life to an infinite life. And how we live our lives on this earth now will determine how we will spend and where we will spend eternity. And it could be very much the case what decision you come to tonight will determine where you will spend eternity. It is as if your eternity is in the balances tonight. And could it be the case that your eternity and where you will spend eternity is on a knife edge? What if tonight was the last night that God spoke to you? What if this is it? What if this is came to crunch time? No more opportunity. What if it's tonight? Does that not make you terrified? Does that not make you fearful? That you could leave this building tonight and that's it. All opportunity gone. I remember speaking to a man in shorts where I worked in Bombardier. I wasn't speaking to a man with shorts, I meant Bombardier Aerospace. And I was speaking to him and he was talking about salvation and his family and his mother and father being Christians. And he said when he was younger, one night he went to a youth rally up in Market Hill. And him and his mates, and he says, my mates and me were hellions. He says, but the man from the Sunday school was very faithful, and he used to throw us on a bus, and we used to get around the country on this bus, so we just went with him. And he said he remembered on the night, they had a gospel appeal. And he said he literally sat on his hands. He wanted to put his hand up so much. He knew what the minister was saying was right. And he wanted to get saved, but he sat on his hands. He says he literally sat on his hands because he was afraid of what his mates would say. And he never got saved that night. And this is what he said to me. And this is the truth. He says, from that date on, 30 years now, I've never once considered giving my life to God. I've never once been convicted from that. He said, I've sat in many a meeting, I've sat in orange meetings, I've sat in gospel meetings. He says, I've never been concerned. And he asked me, he says, Johnny, is it too late? Has God left me? I told him that the gospel was still for him. But he just couldn't see it. We're told in Genesis that God's spirit will not always strive with man. And could this be the case? Is this not very solemn? Could this be the case that God's spirit will stop striving with you tonight? That's it. Enough chances. And your eternity is sealed. God has warned you time and time again. What a privilege you have sitting in a church such as this. Do you know how many millions of people are sitting in a church tonight that will not hear the gospel? Do you know how many of millions of people, if not billions, that are sitting under a false religion? And they're not being steered, they're not being guided, they're not being told the truth. But you sit in one of the very few churches throughout the world that faithfully teaches salvation, faithfully teaches God's word, and faithfully will warn you week after week that you need to be saved. Is God not being gracious to you to have you sit in a church such as this? What are you doing with it? How shall you stand before God in judgment? Know that you rejected so much opportunity. I must warn the unsaved in this meeting tonight that if you die without Christ, your eternity will be in hell. And I know there's some in the meeting tonight that preaches. And that's not a nice thing to say. That's a difficult thing to say. But it's the truth. Young person, if you die without Christ tonight, your eternity is in hell. Older person, if you die without being saved and without Christ, your eternity is hell. We're told in 2 Thessalonians that the wicked shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of heaven. And men and women, try not to think about this place called hell. And maybe I've mentioned it tonight and automatically you switched off going, I don't want to think about that. Actually, they make jokes about it. How they say, oh, when hell freezes over. And they try to belittle what hell is. And they use the word hell in their everyday common language. And by doing so, they try to water it down because they don't want to think of the true meaning of this word. Hell is a terrible, terrible place. We're told and given a description in God's word that it's a place where the fire never stops burning and the worms never stop eating. And we're told even about the rich man in Luke and how he lived an ungodly life. How he lived for the things of this world and he never gave God a second thought. And we're told that he dies. What's it say? In hell, he lifted his eyes, being in torments. It was too late. No soul sleep. No purgatory. No second chances. The minute he died, he opened his eyes, being in hell, in pain and anguish. Oh, he screamed. He screamed. The Lazarus says, just touch the tip of my tongue with a drop of water. Just one drop. Oh, I'm in agony. I can't bear the pain. It's too much. I just need one drop of water. And he couldn't even get that wee, tiny moment of relief. And he's still there. And he'll still be in that pain after a million years, after a billion years. And I know this is a horrific thought, but I want to try and picture this place, dear and safe friend. I want you to think, if you were to die tonight, where you would go and where you would be. And if you go to hell, the fire of hell will eat you and burn you. The screams of others around you. It's a thirst that will never quench. It's a pain and agony that will never be relieved. And you will remember this night. You will remember this gospel message for all eternity. Why? Why would you live a life to go to such a place? Why would you do it? Finally, our future state in the unseen world of eternity depends entirely on what we are in the present, what we do with Christ. If you live for the world, you will spend eternity in hell. If you live for Christ in repentance and faith, you will spend eternity in heaven. That's how simple the message that I'm preaching is. Remember the two ways this morning? Two directions? I've came back to it again. You live for Christ. You repent of your faith. You go to heaven. Your sins are blotted out. Your sins are forgiven. But if you walk outside this church tonight rejecting Christ for the world, your eternity is hell. If you look at verse 5, we're told how to get to heaven. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, this is the way, this is the means of your soul being saved from eternity in hell. This is where you must come to. You must look to Christ tonight for help, for life and assurance, for an eternity that lies before you. And you must do it now. We're told to prepare to meet thy God. And therefore God has warned you. He said, I'm warning you, prepare to meet thy God. And he's warned you time and time again, prepare to meet thy God. The time is short. You need to make preparations. You need to prepare for eternity. And the only way that you can prepare for eternity is through Christ and Christ alone. Will you do it? Will you do it? Has God not tonight spoken to you? Has God not tonight brought you to a place where that you're considering eternity? Maybe you're so close. Maybe you're at that gate. What will you do? You know, all you have to do is simply bow the head and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. I remember one night after you fellowship, a young fellow came up to me and he says, Johnny, I got saved in the last prayer. I says, did you? He says, yes. I was actually in the community hall in Puerto Rico. So I said, come on, we'll have a chat with you. I don't want just to question him. And I says, how do you know that you're saved? He says, ask Jesus Christ in my heart. I says, but how do you know that's sufficient? He says, because you read out of the Bible. And God's word tells me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, I'm saved. God's promised me. It's that simple. Child can get it. A child can understand it. What about you? Just now, forget the pride. Forget the people around you. This is your soul. This is your eternity. Whosoever, that's you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall, not maybe, not if, but shall be saved. Will you not do that now? Just bow the head and say, Lord, save me. Will you not do it? With this, I close. My final question to you is, we're not going to sing, we're going to close the meeting in a word of prayer. But my final question to you, as Mr. Eternity did at Sydney 500,000 times, where will you spend eternity? This is now between you and God. And I pray that God deals with you tonight. I pray that you walk out those doors with full assurance of salvation. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Lord, we realize the solemnity of it tonight. Lord, we realize that it's a difficult matter even to speak upon. Lord, the thought of a soul going to hell, we can't even comprehend it. But Lord, it's thy word, it's truth. And oh Lord, we pray that some dear sinner in this meeting tonight would take heed of the warning. Lord, we know that man can't even create an anxious thought. But Lord, it's God that calls men and women unto salvation. And Lord, even that thou uses the foolishness of preaching. And oh Lord, we pray tonight that thou would give that irresistible call to some dear sinner tonight. Lord, that thou would remove the barriers. Lord, that thou would remove the fear, the pride, whatever is holding them back. And Lord, that they would get saved tonight. And Lord, that thou would do a work of salvation in their lives, a work of redemption. Lord, speak to them, save them. Lord, we want everyone in God's house tonight to walk out with full assurance that someday we'll all see each other in glory. Someday we'll see each other in heaven. And oh Lord, I pray in thy name that I would speak. Lord, bless thy word to each heart. Lord, do a work. Now, Lord, take us to our homes in safety till we meet again. We ask it in thy name. Amen. If anyone is concerned about your soul, can I urge you to do a simple thing? Stay in your seat. Don't gamble your eternity. Speak to someone. Have a chat with us. And we would love to point and direct you to Christ and the way of redemption. Thank you.